Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 230. Hey, check out the Nerdist YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. Click subscribe. Tournament of Nerds is a new show that's up going on now. Each week, two pop culture nerd icons battle it out for the ultimate distinction of the winner of the Tournament of Nerds. It's a comedy debate show with nerds, Katie.
I've seen it.
You have?
Yeah.
You watch stuff on our little
channel? I know those guys too. They're good.
Oh, they're good.
They're awesome.
Justin
guys.
And Hal. Good stuff. Good stuff, those guys. That's on the Nerdist channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. All-Star Celebrity Bowling coming back in the fall. P.S. We're shooting some of those exciting ones. Very exciting. I'll tell you about that next week. This episode, our good buddy Matt Bronger, amazing comic who you may remember from the first stand-up comedy cluster that we did. Matt Bronger was on that, a brilliant comedian. He has a new Comedy Central special, Shovel Fighter, which premieres Saturday. If you're listening to this the day it drops, that's tomorrow. Saturday, July 14th at 11 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central. Matt Bronger, Shovel Fighter, and now podcast guest, our dear friend and wonderful comedian, Matt Bronger on the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 230.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to Monk Chat.
Zero.
Matt Bronger.
Ooh.
Hey, hey.
There he is.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, man.
Credits.
That's the end of the show.
Cue the 45-minute song.
Yeah. Welcome to 30-second cast.
Oh.
Matt Bronger, it is wonderful to finally have you on the Nerdist Podcast. You did our first stand-up cluster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking crushed.
Yeah, thank you.
How's it been going since then? Did the show completely just moderately change your life? Or give us some insight into how amazing that
did
was.
Did it affect it adversely?
Not adversely. No.
I got
a bunch of people just online. They were like, I never knew who
I didn't want you to seriously answer that question. I was
it did have a good effect for
now
sure.
Now suck his dick.
Well, all right. It's a strange audio.
Don't do it seriously. He wants a silly blowjob.
Yeah. No, this is
comedy, you guys.
Like an off-rhythm hand job.
Sure.
Just like, can't get it going.
Yeah.
I want a clown job.
Clown job. It's your standard clown job.
So you are where I haven't seen you in ages. Is it that you're traveling a lot, or I'm traveling a lot, or how do we keep missing each other in comedy scenes?
I don't know. I'm on the road, but not insanely. Maybe like once, twice a month.
Yeah,
you know, enough to pay the bills and stuff. But was working on this pilot, but that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've just been, you know, been lady hawking it.
Passing
you know what
shit.
I mean? As I call it.
So I'm a wolf at night and yes. You're a hawk by day.
Yes, that's right.
I almost said Falcon. The fucking name Hawk is in the goddamn title.
Not Lady Falcon.
It's not Lady Falcon.
Yeah.
I liked Lady Falcon, which yeah. was a little bit better.
It is better.
It's edgier.
Yeah, it does have a little bit more of a bite to
gravitas,
it.
Gravitas.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Lady Falcon. Lady. Which is she just turns into an old Falcon automobile.
Right.
Yeah. Ford Falcon.
Yep.
It looks cool though.
Looks cool.
Yeah. Why is that guy always driving that Falcon around and like never leaves it alone?
Because he loves to be inside his girlfriend.
Yeah, his girlfriend turns into a Falcon. Like anyone keys it, he just snaps.
What the fuck?
That's a person.
You're physically hurting her. Are you siphoning gas? I'm eating out my girlfriend. This is how this bit works. They're aware that it's a bit in the movie of Lady Falcon.
Right.
They should be.
As well.
It's sad, though, that her vagina is the fuel valve.
It's really, if I knew more about cars, I could yes and that.
Yeah.
But there's some tires involved and a starter.
Mm-hmm.
The confusing part is the clutch, because that means she's a hermaphrodite.
Yep.
So, evidently.
And you can never find the alternator, am I right, you guys?
Right.
Is there an alternator?
Man, I don't know if there is one. I'll be honest. You know.
But Matt, you do a lot of stuff, right, Matt?
Yeah. You know, with a woman, you want to put sugar on that thing, but you put it on the automobile, it'll kill the engine, right?
Yeah. Black men don't go down on their cars. White men are like, give me some of that.
yum.
Yummy.
It's the other way around.
What?
It's not.
That's a denial, Jonah. Did you not ever take? Matt is a Chicago comic.
Yeah.
And you're ruining improv, a tradition and an art that is Chicago in nature.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Please. I grew up in Portland.
You basically shit in the mouth of his Chicago-based upbringing, which I'm 100% sure is Chicago.
I just punched Dell close in the dick.
Peed on Dell. I didn't grow up there.
So tell me about Chicago. Was it you guys? Did you spend a lot of time at Cheers? Just get every city wrong.
Ron Cheers's house?
At Ron Cheers. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of time. Yeah. Ironically, name guy. Real.
I don't know why I thought you were a Chicago boy. Did you?
I have my formative comedy years there for sure. I lived there for 6 years. That's where I became a comedian.
Right.
Yeah. So I am technically a Chicago comic, and I was born in Chicago. I just didn't grow up there.
Oh, they moved you away to Portland to try to give you a little bit of plaid up a little bit of.
I moved there when I was four to be closer to my wife's family.
That's what you got to do.
My parents were teachers, and they wherever they moved, there'd be some horrible tax program passed that would give. Tax relief to everybody, but just gut the schools, and they were in public schools.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, so they ended up in Portland, and because it had a decent, it didn't have that that law passed or whatever, but it passed in Illinois, it passed in Santa Barbara, and then we ended up in Portland, and I lived there throughout my childhood.
Can you get the mic closer to your... Oh, that's better.
Is this helping?
Oh, Matt, you're way up in there now. That's good stuff.
Hot stuff.
I like Portland, and Portland now finally has there was a comedy scene before there, but now, but Helium really brought a lot of nice comedy to the Portland area. What was it? There was an old club there, wasn't
Harvey's.
It? Harvey's. Yeah. I never played there.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's just not a place that necessarily cared about comedy. It was just like, almost a machine. They have like a room of people that just cold call people in Portland to give away tickets.
And
when I started playing Harvey's, like I opened for Alonzo Bowden there, and like
nice.
Basically, like, I would have friends be like, oh yeah, I used to get free tickets, but they called me so much I just stopped.
Ugh.
Yeah. And you know, Helium's kind of the opposite of that. The Bridgetown Comedy Festival, obviously, is the opposite of that. And people that live there have just started. Shows in theaters, like in the Hollywood Theater and the Baghdad and things. So
Portland has really great Starbucks coffee. I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
Oh yeah,
it's really good. Starbucks is so
some
good.
Some of the best down home.
And they have really good store bought donuts too.
Are you trying to say Stumptown and saying it wrong? Or?
Oh, I've never heard of.
Oh yeah, Stumptown.
Portland was like the first city we were at where Chris like didn't take us to Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, we get coffee, and then we passed by Starbucks. I was like, What's happening?
There's so much good coffee in Portland. Yeah. And I'm not really a coffee drinker, but I'll drink decaf coffee.
Uh-huh.
Because the caffeinated coffee makes me want to throw up for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, I can't drink it.
You can't drink caffeine? Because I always see you with coffees.
You see me with tea.
Okay.
You see me with tea.
And he tells himself every day that tea doesn't have caffeine.
It just doesn't have coffee levels of caffeine in it.
My dad has a chai a day.
Yeah.
He loves chai.
That's what it is.
Is that what chai?
Yep.
Is that a program?
My dad doesn't get his chai. He's like a dad in the 70s that doesn't get his can of beer. You know, it's like one of those, like he gets all irritable and like around like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. He's like, I want my fucking chai. Like, where? Hey, can we get it?
Man, I am the same way. You don't want to see me or talk to me if I haven't had my morning Joe.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Or your evening 12 beers.
Chris, I am on to straight vodka.
You've done it, Jonah.
Yay.
Congrats, buddy.
Our little boy's becoming a man.
The age of 30 coming up. I really got to start growing up.
That's
really.
It. Straight vodka.
Straight vodka. None of that queer.
Some of the crankiest times I've ever been was finding a Starbucks in a city I was performing in and showing up at like 6:58, finding out they closed at 7, but they won't serve you even though they're technically not closed yet. And we're like, but you're the only Starbucks in this small town I'm in. And now I can't have the till tomorrow. I get really upset. I get really upset. Portland, you also have Ken's Artisan Bakery, which is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good town.
Every time I go back there, there's 100 new places that everyone's like, oh, have you had, you know,
Ken's, trucks too.
Johnny's Noodles and Biscuits?
No. Sure.
Oh, this is the best. And like, you can't.
Really good
everything.
Noodles and biscuits over there.
Really good. There's noodles inside a biscuit.
It's amazing.
There's always some new restaurant or, you know, artisanal something that's out of bounds amazing that I'm just...
Has this ever happened to you? Honey, these biscuits are great, but where are the noodles?
Yeah.
Come here. Smack, 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 smack. You shut up.
You shoved this noodle.
Give you something to cry about.
You fell down the stairs.
I know you slept with Brian.
You fell down the
stairs. I know you
slept
with Brian. It's a minute.
Biscuit noodles.
Now there's Johnny's biscuit noodles. That sounds like something you would eat as when you were in college, where you're like, well, I just want to fill up really fast, so I'll just scoop some noodles onto a biscuit.
There's nothing wrong with starch inside of starch.
No, it's good. It's like
everything's right with that. Are you kidding?
It's just like a nesting doll of a heart attack.
It's like one of those like things you get from Porto's, where it's like it's a bun that has
rice
like,
it's like a mashed potato pork donut.
Oh, God.
Mashed potato pork donut.
Fucking A.
The best.
That's the greatest truck, mashed potato pork donut.
Yeah.
The fucking, the really
weirdly, it's Mexican-Asian fusion. Though. Yeah.
There's a little bit of a soy salsa to it, which is really
it's Chris, it's a soy-lsa.
Soy-lsa
is so the gross. Worst name
so
for
easy.
Anything.
No, it's so easy soy-lsa. And it's gonna work. I'm gonna make it work. Hey guys, where's the soy-lsa?
That's not good.
No, it just rolls out of the tongue.
That used to be real, we made it unreal.
Awful.
It's easier.
It doesn't exist now, thanks to us.
It's easier to say than salsa. Ouch.
That'd be so
ouch my jaw.
That'd be so gross too. Salsa with soy sauce added. It's 10 times as salty.
You just turn into the guy from Last Crusade that drank from the wrong cup.
Oh, then he just
sucks everything out of you.
Desiccated.
What a moron, by the
never,
way.
Right?
Who the hell would think that'd be Jesus' cup?
He chose the wrong soil, sir.
That is
not the cup of a carpenter.
No, it was not.
Nope. It would have been the cup of, like, Karen Carpenter.
He
was very wealthy.
It would have been always empty, right?
Exactly. Anorexia.
It's like... I think she drank out of the cup and then stopped drinking. Am I right? almost to death. Almost there. She still has living relatives. Very sorry.
She filled it up with Epicac. Am I right?
Boy.
I don't think she puked. I thought she just didn't.
It's like that guy heard the phrase King of Kings and then just like, that's all I need to know about Jesus. That's it. Yeah. Don't tell me anymore.
This king is the cup of a king.
Come on.
I've been trying to find this cup for 30 years, but have done little to no research around the mythology of this cup.
He looks like the lead singer of Three Dog Night in his heyday.
Clearly.
Every engraving we've seen has the cup. Like every engraving had the fucking cup that Indiana Jones picks.
Yeah,
but
he
picks one that is not quite that shape.
Mm-hmm. He stopped.
Stupid Nazi, am I right, you guys?
Picked one from the set of that like nice dinner from Temple of Doom. That was like what they were all eating snakes out of and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Just
how did this riff start? I was going to throw something in before we got on the Indiana Jones Last Crusade riff. What were we talking about right before that? We're talking about pork donuts. Oh yes.
Soy-lsa.
Never drink soy sauce. Never drink it.
Okay.
Never.
Did you do this on a drunken bet?
The sad part was I was sober.
Okay.
I think maybe 8 or 9 years ago, Brian Posehn had a bachelor party in Las Vegas, and a bunch of us went. I was newly sober, so Vegas to me was going to be a mystery.
A test.
And so we went.
Sober Vegas is like when they stop Pirates of the Caribbean and turn the lights on.
Yeah, exactly.
Stars?
Oh, the ceiling's all grimy.
I thought I only got lost in this casino because I was drunk before. Yeah. They can't let you out.
Oh, the Jack Sparrow robot is just, they just put his face on an old robot.
Or Space Mountain. You're like, there's no danger of me hitting the other cars.
Yeah.
Although I do always worry a little bit that in Space Mountain, there's going to be like a crossbar and I'm going to sit up just a little bit. It's going to take my head off.
I think if I put my arms above my head, my wrist will snap.
Just gone.
It hits a bar.
Yeah.
There's
got
to be a limit to how tall you can be and do that in Space Mountain, right?
I would assume, if you were like 11 feet tall, you probably shouldn't ride that ride.
Walking.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, tall John.
So never.
Nope.
Little John Schrader, just shout out there.
You can't. Ride
still
Space
works.
Mountain.
It still works.
It's a podcast. It's a podcast where contractually
he's so mad that you and I can ride on it.
John.
Yeah, so exactly. Mad, but he can't.
So Posehn, we went to this teppanyaki place where you sit all around the, and then they cook the food.
Where dinner is the show.
That's right. Dinner was the show, especially in Las Vegas. And Posehn, because it was his engagement party, would just point at people and be like, be funny. And then, you know, like Patton would do something hilarious and Blaine Kapatch would do something hilarious. And then he pointed at me and he was like, be funny. And I didn't have anything to do, so I just grabbed the soy sauce that was in front of me and just chugged it.
Oh.
Like, drank half the bottle.
Drink it!
And never do that.
Whoa.
Never do that. I was
That's like drowning in
the ocean. You're probably more dehydrated than the guys drinking.
I didn't end up throwing up, but I wanted to throw up, and it didn't help that we ended up getting on one of those strip buses.
Oh, yeah.
Where a guy.
The bus takes you up and down the strip.
While a lady is taking off her clothes, who it turns out is married to the driver, which was really fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I remember all these stories when you guys got back from that trip.
It was pretty brutal.
I planned a friend's back in like 2001, 2002. I planned a friend's bachelor party to Vegas. And one of the things I did was the teppanyaki thing. We like went to Benihana's or something. I was like, that'll be fun. And everybody who was in Chicago that was like waiting tables or bartending or, you know, non-family men, we all just got pleasantly buzzed.
Yeah.
All of his friends who were in Wisconsin and Minnesota who had families and kids, like cartoon sailor bombs. And like, we were at the teppanyaki thing. And I remember the guy was like, he was a young guy chopping it up. And he looks around and he's like, oh, you got some real studs, huh? Where are the ladies? Like, just these zingers.
Yeah.
You know, they're super funny. We're laughing. And this one guy just goes, hey, don't you shut up and cook, man.
Whoa.
Like, really? And the guy's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm just trying. It's just like, you just made everything horrible. You know?
He doesn't go to sleep. I thought that guy doesn't even get the whole teppanyaki thing. Why are we even sitting in the kitchen in the first place?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, this is what you're supposed to do.
This is part of the fun.
Yeah.
Best part about that, though, if you piss off the cook, he can't spit in your food because you're watching him.
You're right.
Oh, good point.
You can say whatever you want to that guy.
Yeah, you can do whatever
you want. No, when he turns around, he can just milk a little bit of cum into the butter and then throw it on the grill.
Milk a little cum. Milk a little butter.
They are quick like that.
Just like a rattlesnake.
Just thumb a little pre-cum right into it. Thumb a little off the top. Yeah, right in there.
Make it quick and make it clear.
The sizzling
I'm
meat.
A little pre- guys, it was pre-cum, okay? It's not
pre-cum.
That bad.
It's not the real thing.
It's like the trailer for cum.
How come? Pre-cum.
They give away too much in pre-cum.
That sizzling beef smells a little bit like a hotel room, and I don't know why. Just a dash of something I'm ashamed of. I don't know why.
We put carpet in our. That's what it is. We mix carpet in with the rice.
That's what it is,
and that's why it's so delicious. Actually, the only thing that I like about Vegas, if I ever have to go there, is just really the food is fucking amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything else about Vegas to me is, I just get sad.
Mm-hmm.
I just get bummed.
Yeah.
You gotta go to Old Vegas. That's where the real fun happens.
Oh, the real sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are. That's where they're really living. The dream.
That's
the classic Vegas dream.
The pawn shop from Pawn Stars is like right next to old Las Vegas.
Oh, it is?
It's just like so shitty over there. And the Heart Attack Grill's over there now. You know, that grill.
Yeah,
the guy died.
Fat people.
Place where an actual heart attack occurred.
Yes. Yeah, where that
Holy
guy.
Holy shoot. I mean,
the place where you can eat for free if you weigh over 350 pounds.
Yeah. And it's all just cheeseburgers and bacon. And it's like.
And
the guy, they're all dressed like sexy nurses. And the owner manager is like dressed like a doctor.
It's so gross. Yeah.
That, none of them are registered either. It's the
I know. They're not real nursing. Yeah. I went in there with a fractured HMO limb.
It's weird. They didn't. They just put bacon
on it.
They
just gave me a burger.
And it kind of
they wrapped it. They set my compound fracture with bacon and kept tearing.
They gave you a pizza stint.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good.
No, a splint. A stint would be something else.
I just assumed they rolled up pizza and shoved it in.
That you were eating pizza.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They'd lace you with pepperonis and then feed you to someone else because you were laced with pepperonis.
Yeah.
Okay.
That people didn't know about.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Chris Hardwick Improv, Brad.
Yeah.
You always start whatever you're going to say by saying,
you
no,
always
no.
start whatever you're going to no, say no. with it. You always start that,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Wait, it's yes and it's yes and something else. Yes and something. Yes and.
Yes and.
No, it's yes.
You always start that.
Yeah. It's yeah.
And there's an Eskimo over there.
You're the Eskimo.
I thought it was yeah, so.
You're ruining the scene, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Oh, okay.
That's really hot here.
And every scene.
Freeze! Yeah. Ma'am, I'm going to have to deliver this baby now.
Yeah.
So?
Zip, zap, zop.
How many games of improv freeze did you play that ended in someone giving birth or getting butt fucked? Like, those are the two.
Half of them.
Those are the two.
That's how he started the scene.
Yeah.
So you're giving birth while I'm butt fucking.
Yeah,
you,
but man. Welcome to
initiation.
Welcome to butt fuck ER.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. My dick's going to help push the baby out.
Well, in ancient cultures, that's how they did it.
Of course.
Yeah. It helped the baby out. It actually just hurt the baby.
Hurt the baby.
It was actually the opposite.
Yeah.
It turns out you should not have anal trauma while you're giving birth.
It didn't hurt. It annoyed the baby. It was like actually having a baby behind your plane seat, kicking your seat
the entire time.
Just like, hey,
baby's
I'm
the worst.
Trying to leave.
And
stop
that's why some kids are more prone to kicking the back of seats because they were butt fuck delivered.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah.
That's true. That is
it's
true.
It's like hazing. When you're hazed, you're going to haze the next person.
Yeah. A baby is really just a pledge.
Yep.
It's just a human pledge.
That's it. And childhood is hell week.
Yep.
The whole thing.
All several years. I have so many friends. How old are you, man?
I'm 37.
You're 37. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you, like I, probably have tons of friends with tons of kids now. Yes.
I wouldn't say tons, but yeah, a good amount. A good amount.
What's a good amount?
I'd say maybe a quarter of them.
Yeah.
What's a good amount?
That's an okay amount.
Yeah.
I guess that's true because, you're friends with a lot of comics and not all the comics.
Yeah, exactly. We're on our fifth and sixth childhoods.
Comic lifestyle just doesn't have time for a baby.
You know, it's just about being a bad boy. You know what I mean?
Being a bad boy.
Being a bad boy.
Being a rebel.
Being a bad, bad, lonely boy.
Why'd you
The bad boy's a comedy.
When I hear about like a friend having a wife that's pregnant, I always go, it was nice being friends with that guy.
Never intentional. It's just that your worlds are different and they're naturally going to, there's this sort of weird social lava lamp thing that happens where you separate and then they become friends with other people who have kids because then their kids occupy each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Like occupy Wall Street.
Like Eric Appel, he's moving out of the neighborhood. He's going to the valley because he has a kid now.
Oh, it's all over.
Place where there's better schools, and I was just like, oh, but what about?
Bye.
Yeah.
What about these bars? What about these bars right here?
From a friendship standpoint, you're at the station, and he's pulling away forever.
No.
You're telling me that the TG bar is not a good enough school for that child?
That TG bar is fucking fantastic.
It really is.
You could learn a lot.
It's Wisconsin.
You know?
You could learn a lot about math, counting peanuts.
Who you don't want to become.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best kind of bar to go to.
Yeah. Always that guy far down at the end.
Yeah, staring at a napkin.
Oh.
Yeah.
That napkin tells him a lot, you guys. Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you're in a good bar and it's going to be some cheap booze.
That's right. Yeah, when there is human despair on some level. Not the whole thing. Yeah.
Not everybody.
You don't want it packed with human despair. It's like salt on your eggs. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not. You don't want it to be eggs on your salt.
No.
You want it to be a little bit of salt. Just for seasoning.
Exactly.
Little eggs with your salt. That's what I would say to someone doing that.
Yeah.
Touche.
Good one.
Touche.
Is that on the record?
Home run, Jonah.
It was the same fucking joke you guys were doing.
Come on,
but I made it seem as ridiculous as it sounded.
Hey, Jonah, you want a little more salt with your bit? You're a little cranky over there, right? You want a little more salt with those jokers?
Chris, why don't you improv some more?
Hey, why don't you improv some more?
The knives are out. No, seriously, if you guys are listening at home, they're holding knives.
Yes, and you should improv some more, Jonah.
I'm actually very afraid.
Yes, and you should.
Stay over here.
I've been seeing commercials. I didn't... There's a new syndicated show that I saw in the makeup room at G4 which I guess I didn't realize, but is a Real Housewife lady, and she's doing an afternoon talk show. I guess she was one of the Real Housewives.
Okay.
And it was the most irritating commercial, because they constantly told in the commercial the audience of like how edgy the show was, but then they cut to clips like not edgy at all.
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, she's not afraid to talk about anything. Ladies, I'll date a younger guy. I don't even care.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. I can't believe that she would even fucking...
She said that out
and
loud?
And then cut to like canned audience like, whoa, shit.
No.
Wow. I wish I could remember her name. Actually, I'm glad I can't remember her name.
Because everybody's going, oh man, remember when.
What if though it was like, it's the edgiest show. And you're like, yeah, right. And they cut to it. And she's like, guys, if you're not in favor of worldwide communism, you are not a real Christian. It'd be like, whoa, holy shit, this is edgy.
That is edgy.
Today on the show, we're going to make cunt sickles. We'll be right back. Oh, my God.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It just sounds like...
Oh, you know. It's where you make a popsicle inside your cunt.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was when you freeze your dick and then shove it in.
And I purposely did not say vagina. Because
you had to tag.
I think I told Jonah this. My mom used that word, and it fucked me up jarring. So bad. Yeah, she's like, what do you think the worst name for a derogatory term for a woman is? I'm like, we all know what it is. I'm like, mom, I don't. She's like, I think it's cunt. Like, cut me off. Like, well, of course it is, mom. And you saying that, you've ruined me.
And were you worried if you said it back? Like, when my mom swears... When she says swears in conversation, I'm always worried that she'll say something like, yeah, so I was looking at this house. It was on a shitty street. And I'll be like, yeah, mom, it's shitty. And she'll be like, hey, watch your language.
Yeah. It's okay when I say it.
Yeah, yeah, it's not okay.
My dad does that sometimes where I'll swear. He's like, hey, don't swear in front of your fucking mom, all right?
and pass the pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, if you're, I hate this. Like, if you're cursing up a storm in public, like, sure, that's bad. But if you're in a public place and there's no kids around, and you're just like, ah, fuck. And some guy's like, hey, language.
Yeah.
Like, dude, hey, get the
adults.
Hell away from
we're
me.
Fucking adults.
Yeah,
I swear
exactly.
Around kids all the time, accidentally.
Yeah. Some people,
at Disney World and fucking.
No, Disneyland is the best place. It's just like, fucking get some profanity up in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, on the flume ride. Yeah. Shit. As you're going down.
It's the happiest fucking place on earth.
So fucking happy.
Splash fucking mountain, am I right,
am
kids?
Am I right, cunts?
Do you guys want some fucking churros, or you want to go to Down Fucking Town Disney? Or
hey, look, it's Minnie Mouse. Get a picture with me and this cunt.
Oh, there's a group of guys.
Those are the things that would be inappropriate to say at a Disneyland type scenario.
We were just playing fellas. We're not too appropriate.
Knott's Berry Farm, though. Bets are off.
Yeah.
You murder somebody at Knott's Berry Farm, they won't find the body for a week.
How do you make a roller coaster out of... how do you basically take a preserves farm and turn it into a...
Well, you see what Walter Elias Disney's doing down the road, and then you say, I gotta do this.
And then you say, hey, Peanuts.
Mm-hmm. What are you guys
doing?
Come
and sponsor, yeah.
When you cross that bridge over the flume ride and they hit the bottom and all of that awful hot jam hits you in the face.
Such a weird,
this river of jam that they don't bother to chill.
It's boysenberry jam.
Used to be strawberry. It looks like boysenberry.
I just think over the years it's just
darkened.
It's just they never change it.
And it's the slowest ride.
The grit gets in your eyes
forever.
Well, no, it's super slow. Yeah. And then the jam tears. And then it's fast. Then it's slow again.
What's happening? Why are we going?
It just makes this big wow noise.
Sometimes people get like when it slows down again. Some people fucking fly off the fucking floor.
Oh yeah, sure. It's jarring.
Yeah,
you have this bar in front of you that you slam into.
The jam is also jarring.
Yeah, in front of a jar.
One time I actually was at Splash Mountain and they were gonna. It was late at night and it was sort of like the last ride I was gonna go on and they were putting us in line to go on the ride. And it was me and then my friend and two other people were gonna go on one log and they put me in the front. And then the other people were like, "Oh, we're gonna get our own." So then I was just on the front of the flume, you know, essentially being top heavy.
Uh-oh.
And when the thing went down,
did it go?
It went like a fucking submarine diving.
Were you worried at all that it was going to go like end over end?
No. I understand physics, so I knew that wouldn't happen. And what happened was I have never encountered so much water so fast in my life. It all just went in, and then like my iPhone got fucking ruined.
Oh.
Fucking kids.
That's the worst. We always go. A tip is you always go on Splash Mountain last so you can just leave.
Yeah. Once or like the Rapids ride with like the little like circular tube. Yeah. That's always the scary one because you don't know
who's going
to
get
when it starts to turn and you're about to go down and they're like,
Can't stand. Some people might say, no, you go early so the sun will dry you out. But I can't stand walking around in wet shoes socks. And socks all day.
The wet jeans is horrible.
Just fucking, just percolating bacteria and gut and ook.
Grody to the max.
It is. That's why I always go last. So I hit Splash.
Isn't the slogan is something like, go on the water rides first so that the rest of the day you'll itch.
I think that's America's slogan.
It's just what Goofy says. Go on the water rides first.
Why not wear these tight Wranglers? My bottom sure does itch. The backs of my thighs.
You're going to scratch it so you say, yahoo!
They're so chafed.
Sure glad they cut a tail hole out of these for me.
Chafed again with Goofy.
Sorry, I just shit my pants. I'm a dog and used to shit wherever I feel like it. Shouldn't put dogs in clothing.
Goofy.
Steamboat Willie is still like the funniest cartoon. I just look at that fucking dancing cow. I love it. Everything since then, horrible. But
I wonder at the dawn of animation if people even had a concept of what it was that they were seeing. Like, what weird witchcraft am I seeing? What is this?
Yeah.
Well, flipbooks must have been around, huh?
Yeah, I guess they would have had flipbooks at that point. Sure, flipbooks or zoetropes.
Whoever came up with like the flipbook first. If you went down to like just some rummy hobo half asleep by the tracks and just held like a flip book in front of him like, and then the man fell off the cliff and turned into a melon. Whoa! He'd be like, you're a wizard.
That's crazy. I do think on Big Thunder Mountain, though, they should have the occasional hobo getting run over by the train.
When it slows down, there's like a hobo and his legs are missing. By the thing, like, my legs are gone.
If it was at Universal Studios, they would do that during Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, that would be genius.
Yeah,
Goofy fucked my legs off.
Do you think there was the loss of boners before the slide whistle was invented?
No, I don't think anyone.
They just were never
boners.
Hilarious.
Yeah. They were actually created on the same day.
I love the slide whistle. CJ Sullivan had the best. He had a slide whistle, and he would just do bits with her. He's like, my girlfriend found a way to express herself creatively. By writing a 200-page suicide note. 200 pages? I got to read the whole thing? pretty genius. Pretty genius.
Oh, I just saw Rory Scovel just fucking crush it on Conan.
That was so good.
I couldn't figure out, though, why he chose to bring a beer out. I kept thinking that was going to play in somehow. But
I wish I knew. I wish I could have fucking done that.
Yeah, me too.
Well, he was thinking outside the beer bottle.
You know what? I don't, because I would have taken a big nervous swig and it would have gone all over the place. Nope. I would have made like a premature ejaculation joke and they would have cut my whole set.
Right. This beer just came on my face.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't say that on here. Conan, I'm sorry.
Andy, talk to Conan. Andy.
You did a lav, right, when you did it last time?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You normally do laws when you do late night.
Yeah, I think it's supposedly they prefer it. I don't know if I would do it again. I just feel like, I mean, late night sets, you get 4.5 minutes. I almost feel like there's not enough time to take the mic out of the stand.
Yeah. I need to be holding something, though. I don't like having my hands free because I don't know what to do with them.
I don't mind. Yeah. I like gesticulating.
Yeah.
I do, too. I just like using the microphone. You've done Letterman, too.
I have.
How was that?
Amazing. That still is like the pinnacle because I got called over to the couch and got to talk to him after my set.
And Dave was nice to you. And then during commercial, was he like, don't make eye contact with me?
I sat down. He didn't say anything. The lights came up. We got along great. I made him laugh. And then he shook. It was like lights out. And he's like, he shook my hand. He's like, great job. Thanks. And he just walked away.
Oh, nice. I think that's about as much as you can hope to.
Absolutely. You have to stay where you are. Until he gets up to his dressing room and closes the door, and then everyone can move.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. Which, I've said that to people, and they're
after,
like, oh, what a jerk. But I'm like,
years.
It's his show. Yeah. He can have privacy. I don't care. I have no problem with that.
He doesn't have to,
Yeah, he's not supposed to entertain me.
You should be like, Dave, do you want to hang out after the show? Yeah. Can you mind taking a picture with my family? Listen,
I know you don't even hang out with Regis. Can you hang out with me? Yeah.
I think it's bullshit what they did to you over at NBC. I'm just saying. I just think it's bullshit.
Yeah. Buddy to buddy.
But so we're friends now, right?
Yeah, like we're besties.
Yeah. What did you say to him that made him laugh?
I told him the story of Eggly Bagel Face.
Oh, Eggly Bagel Face.
Eggly Bagel Face.
Yep. And he's so quick because I, you know, the story is I went through the phone book as a kid with some friends and found the two silliest names and pranked the hell out of them. And the first name we found was Skeletor P. Funk. And when I said, first name we found, Skeletor P. Funk, Letterman right away goes, strong. Strong name. Killed him. He did not bat an eye. He's just like, wherever you're going, I'm going too. That's what we do in comedy. I will go with you.
That's,
you
know, fantastic.
It must be. I always think it's probably fun for guys like Letterman who've been for so long to have someone on that can play it, keep up with them, play along with them. Because that must activate the Comic Center at some point where they're like, oh, you know, because I'm sure so many interviews are actors or musicians or whatever, and it's, you know, it's the kind of the one-sided Dave driving the comedy. Yeah. It must be fun for him to play.
Yeah, he really seemed to get a kick out of it and, you know, just had, you know, to hear this wackadoo story, you know, that he could just, like, sit back and kind of contribute a little bit, but he just led with, so, I hear you grow up in Portland and they blah, 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 and go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, he knew I had, like, a funny story, so he's like, oh, hey, let's have him tell his funny story on the couch.
That's you and awesome. I always talk about, like, oh, we should get together and write more, like, because we got together once and we're just kind of, like, kicking premises back and forth, which is, I love doing,
because
I don't like writing alone. I like, I like the riff aspect of everything.
Well, you doubt yourself, because, at least I do, because it's like, I'll write something and be like, I think that's funny. Is it funny? And then I'll try it on stage, and sometimes I get a laugh, and sometimes people are just like, what?
Yeah.
You know? So it's fun not necessarily to be like, you know, calling all your friends and be like, hey, you think this is funny? Because then I've known people like that, and you're like, dude, you gotta go on stage. I'm sorry. You know, it's like, stop bothering me.
Yeah.
But it's like, when you're writing with someone, it's like, it's fun because obviously there's no judgment,
right?
You know, between comedians. We've all been through it. We've all been on stage in front of, you know, not less than spectacular audiences.
Sure.
We've had, you know, people that are drunk, people that are talking and stuff. And so it's like, we've all been through it. No one here is going to be writing jokes with the other person and being like I say something and they're just like, that's shit. Yeah. What did you write, Matt? Don't tell me you're kidding. You like that?
No, it was a joke.
I always feel like that there are, when I'm starting to think about myself is that the comedy is actually not where I think it is a lot of the time.
Yeah.
That there's a certain part of your brain that identifies something as like, here's the joke.
Right.
And then, you know, you just sort of, something else comes out of you on stage that, or comes out of me on stage that I never would have thought, oh, well, this is where the funny part is.
Right.
Like, I'm still surprised a lot of the time by, and so I feel like, you know, I feel like, and tell me if you agree with this, that part of our goal as a comedian or a performer is to sort of tear back all the superficial layers and really just get the truest representation of who we are on stage, and that in doing that, kind of that's where the funny part lives, rather than in engineering jokes, which I think is a different skill.
Absolutely. Well, I feel like, you know, when you have a human moment on stage, like when you screw up a joke and then you just make an aside about God, and I tried to say this, but this is what's really on my mind.
Yeah.
Then the audience is like, they're laughing. They're like, okay, this is a moment we're all sharing that will never happen again.
Right.
You know, it's almost like I try to say, I read in a book once where this guy blurted something out in court and everyone's like, oh shit, that's real. Like, because a lawyer once said, like, the truth sounds different in a court of law. Like, when someone just says something and you're like, oh, I totally believe that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing when, like, you're on stage and you have that human moment, or you're telling a new joke and you get a laugh in a part you never thought you'd get a laugh from. And it's mostly because you like that part. You know, and that you identify with that part, and in turn you make them identify with that part.
Yeah,
you know,
because I think you're really good at doing that as well. Pete Holmes is really good at doing
that. Yeah, he's great at it.
And Rory's really good at it too. Where it's just, you know, these are some things that I'm thinking about, and I'm not really I'm not really trying to force you to, like, oh, this is the part you have to laugh at. It's just, it's sort of like the journey of it. It just gets this momentum, and, you know, like, especially you, just super fast, bam, 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 mm-hmm. where the jokes come out really hard and fast.
Thanks. Well, I mean, I think a lot of it is just like the whole, and I think Pete said this on stage, like, let's just all relax. Let's just let this happen and let's just all relax. It's like, you have to have, you know, a somewhat relaxed performer and also a somewhat relaxed audience. You know, if you're opening for, like, you know, the hottest band in the world or something, or the hottest new band at some tiny club that's packed to the gills beyond fire regulations. They're like, but first, here's Chris Hardwick. And everyone's like, fuck you. It's like, they're not relaxed. They don't want to, you know,
that you're fighting a losing battle. You know, same thing as if you're just like, I hate this. I don't want to be on stage. I can't stand this shit. Fuck it. You know, you're going to come out and you're just going to rub the audience the wrong way. And I think, you know, Rory and Pete just get really loose. And I try to do that too. You know, I think everybody here does that where it's just like, I think I've always had kind of a problem with the super cool guy comedian. And that's like why my first album, I'm looking so serious on the cover because I'm a clown. You know, it's like I'm not a cool guy. You know, it's one reason I do this is because I'm not a cool guy.
Right.
But, you know, when you have that guy that's just like, I'm such a badass comedian. I mean, I fucking kill, man. I make people laugh. I make girls wet. I tell such great jokes. I had a guy say that to me once. I make girls wet in the eye. I'm just like,
I have a feeling I know what a comic that is.
And he sucks. No, he was a guy in Chicago. You never met him and you'll never hear his name.
Because I saw a guy like that recently. And it's a guy we know. And like, he was just like, kind of like, whatever. And I was just like, come on, man.
Yeah, stop.
You're saying jokes.
You're saying jokes. Yeah, so yeah. It
was Ron Funches, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's totally Ron. Yeah. That badass.
Whatever.
You know, if you were to talk about the most egotistical offstage comedian ever, Ron Funches.
Either way, Ron. Linda could do better. Ron opened for me for my album, actually, in Portland. So he's the best.
Ron's so funny.
Ron is
a real murderer's row.
Ron, you know, the thing that I love about Ron is it's the same quality that Maria Bamford has where they're just comedy. Like, there's no... Yeah. It doesn't... Not one part of it feels like there's any effort in the sense, like, not like they're not trying, but I mean, like, it just flows so seamlessly, and everything about it, you just want to laugh.
Yeah. Well, they're like their own circus tent, and they're just opening the flap, like, look in here, and you're like, oh, whoa, what's in there? You know, that is different, what they're doing. They draw you in, you know, to their perspective, which is awesome.
Did you ever think when you were first starting out in comedy, like, oh, I have to, you know, I got to have this persona, so I'm going to try a bunch of different kinds of clothes and a bunch, like, that it was all external for you or when you started out?
No, because we starting out in Chicago, we all had this, like, core group, you know, like Kyle Kinane and CJ Sullivan and people that would not let you off the hook. I remember once I wore, like, fashion jeans on stage. They were, like, they looked like, you know, they were kind of like acid wash, but, like, frosted.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, people were just like, what the fuck was with those jeans, Bronger? You know, like, so you almost couldn't be anything but yourself.
Yeah, I don't believe in wearing crazy fashion-y jeans on stage. I think people who...
Now I like cool jeans. But like, you know, it was, you know, when you're... Yeah, but you don't wear jeans with like dragons on them or lightning bolts on the side. You know?
Not on the outside.
Oh, the inside.
Yeah, the inside. Oh, it's laced.
Comfort dragons. Yeah, comfort dragons.
I wear the
comfort... They just cup. They cup his balls.
Sure.
I once stayed at the Comfort Dragon Inn. It was really...
It's really... That's
Comfort
in Hong
Dragon
Kong.
Inn.
It's in Chinatown.
That's in Hong Kong.
You have a cookie.
It's in Chinatown's. Yeah. Like, located in Hong Kong.
Right.
Hong Kong has a Chinatown.
Weird, right?
Yeah, it's extra fucking Chinese.
Well, it's gotten so westernized over there that they actually had to preserve some of their culture. Yeah. Just
but within
like
that, there is a little Armenia. But,
I think they just call it town.
Yeah.
Over there, I think they call it
this town. Little Glendale.
I think the only like persona, like in terms of like dressing different on stage that I've heard has just been from like bad managers and bad industry types. They're just like, you know what, you need a headband. Like something or actually a headband.
I'm listening.
Funny.
Okay.
No, it'd be like if someone was like, I like that Jonah Ray, but he should wear a suit on stage.
Yeah.
Like advice like that, we're like, why? So he's uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Where are you gonna come out with a suit and people are like, oh well it's a distinguished gentleman. I should definitely laugh at these jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's an older idea of comedy where it's like you should be this guy. You have to be this guy. You have to put this on it. By the way, this just sounds like a comedy bit to me, even though none of the words make any sense. And I just love it as an example of like, just get the comedy cadence of marrying some of the things we said earlier. So it's like that guy over there is eating biscuit noodles out of a comfort dragon. Like, I don't know what that means, but it's just got comedy cadence to it. Like, just the meter of the words works really well. Do you ever do that on stage where you say something like that that's not really supposed to be funny, but then they laugh and you're like, no, that wasn't supposed to. Okay, fine.
Oh yeah. It sounds like you're doing a setup.
I wonder
how
long, and not in the Andy Daly way, but I wonder how long you could just do comedy cadence with meaningless word, like with meaningless references.
I don't know.
This guy,
one guy over here going, come on.
I didn't sign up for that.
I didn't get the memo.
Have you seen this?
Well, duck face sailor, you know, with a ship and basketball. Pair of pants, pair of shoes. Apple pie, pecan pie. I mean, come on. I don't think I'm lying here. I think you know what I'm talking
about.
We're on the same page. We got it. This guy's got it. This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This guy definitely knows what I'm talking about.
I used to love saying, you guys know what I'm talking. Just leave it there. Just leave it right there.
Fucking A.
You know what I'm talking.
I just kind of want to dabble and experiment sometimes with that just to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of comedy as a weird sort of experimentation, like almost like a weird science. Like, I wonder if I can trick people's brains with this element that you wouldn't normally think of.
And
just see how that works.
You can.
I think once you win a crowd over, you can, because they're sort of conditioned to, okay, well, this is what this guy's about. And if he says that, I may not know exactly what it means, but obviously...
Well,
they trust you.
That's the best point to be at, where like you've won them over. They can see you have a measure of confidence and a good sense of humor, and then you can just try things.
Yeah, but unless you're Brent Weinbach, you just start it and hope that the crowd.
Yeah, God damn it, that guy's a fucking commando.
Yeah,
yeah, that guy just jumps, no parachute.
See what happens.
See what happens.
Like fucking crushes.
Yeah.
What is there a good story where you had the audience and then completely lost them, and you were like, what the fuck?
I love your Live at Gotham story.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a great example of that. You know, that taught me not to care so much about how I would ever do, because that was the first thing I taped for TV, and I was just so nervous. I remember they were putting makeup on me and my neck was bright red, and I was just like, she's like, oh, you're nervous. I'm like, no, you know, and I had all friends in the audience, and I went out there and I just started going way too fast. People are like, and it's a conditioned audience. They're so ready to laugh, and they're like, fuck, where's the joke? Where's it coming? And I went so fast, and then the lights went out on me.
I remember this.
And I was like, and the lights came up, and they're like, all right, guys, we're going to start over. And I was just like, okay. And then I was like, all right, just good. Second chance. Slow down. So I go out there. I'm a little more relaxed. And I go into this bit about when I went in this audition, and the line was, I went in for the role of, and the lights went out, and I went, the role of Dracula, spooky, and got a huge laugh in the darkness, and there's no one there. And I started just singing Journey songs as they're fucking with the lights. You know, I think I was singing Faithfully or something to keep everyone, and people are laughing. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Like, I just got off stage and was like, and I came out and I had a great set. So it was a total blessing.
You got totally lucky. You got to do a warm up for your own set.
Completely. Yeah. And I remember Daniel Tosh backstage yelling at a producer like, I'm not worried about Bronger. He's going to fucking roll with this, but you better fix this shit, man. You know, like, and the guy's like, all right.
I wonder if someone got that on video for his program.
Yeah, well.
You know, I always think like, oh, maybe my humor's not, because I don't necessarily have like mean sort of, you know, I don't have the mean bitey humor. Well, and sometimes I'm like, well, maybe that's what America wants. They just want someone to be
I mean, you got
Letterman.
You just be yourself. I mean, you know, I think we all, at least by the third year in, was just like, I'm just going to do what I think is funny, because that's the only way to stay sane. You can't, you know, you can't, like, what are we big? What's the next thing?
I don't know. I was still trying to conform to what I thought other people wanted to see.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Look, I know it's working for you here, and you're very unhappy doing this podcast, but I, no.
If I could trade.
Please get me out of
here. If I could, please.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not even a question of that. I mean,
so if someone gave you a show, but it wasn't necessarily, but it kind of brought you an audience that you didn't really want, but you were getting to, you know, you were selling out theaters and, you know,
right.
Do you think you wouldn't want that?
If I was doing comedy as someone from a different perspective than my own, I'd be very unhappy. If I was doing something, I mean, I know exactly what you mean, where it feels weird to be like the mean guy.
Yeah.
Because if anything in my act, I just get angry. I don't get really mean.
Right.
But like, we had, you know, Pete Holmes has his You Made It Weird podcast.
I'm aware.
We did one in Chicago this last time, and it was amazing because it was T.J. Miller and Hannibal Buress and Robert Buscemi and CJ Sullivan and Sean Flannery, you know, we've all known each other for years, and we're all kind of ripping on Pete because he wants us to. And at the very end, TJ Miller says, let's go down the line and have our first impressions of Pete Holmes. And I said, you know, this guy's so funny, but Christ, is he ripping off Brian Regan? but, you know, we all were. We all were.
Yeah.
We all are. And I did say, and I was just, in my mind, I compare it to gambling, to literally throwing dice. I'm like, this is something I've never said to him, but I will. And he had a horribly bitchy, frigid wife, and just what a horrible person. And Pete falls down laughing.
Oh, is a woman good.
It left him. It divorced him.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere when we were all in Chicago, and caused him no end of heartache. But I remember her just being this woman, just arms crossed, didn't want to talk to anyone, did not support Pete's comedy. And I was just one of those guys who, like, even like him and Kumail, when I first saw them, I'm like, oh, these guys are going to be guys to watch. They're always going to be funny. They have really original, great ideas. And I didn't want to dump on this woman that I haven't seen in 10 years, you know, but I just remember being like this awkward comedian trying to start out and just being like, why would you be so awful to your husband, you know? And I rolled the dice on stage. I just called her a horrible bitch, and like, it killed, crushed in the room. And Pete, it crushed Pete, like, in a good way. And he's gotten all this great feedback about how I dumped this person. So I think it's like, when you save your meanness for the right things,
right?
You know,
well, there's it's also the safe environment.
Yeah, for sure.
Too, like,
for
sure. And you can, and you know when someone's trying to be mean. You know, some people think edgy. We were making jokes about edgy earlier. They think edgy just means in any situation you just say the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm sure you've encountered people who maybe want to be comedians, or they're younger comedians, and they don't understand how to use aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, you know, hey, you're fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And then, oh, wait, like Jonah and Matt.
No, I do it with a smile, and that's why they call it charm.
Well, no, but I mean, like, people don't know how to use it, and then they insult you. Then you don't, and you maybe you don't know them, and then you're like, no, that's not how that's supposed to work.
No, don't. Yeah, well, I think it goes, this is going to sound really comic book-ish, but it's purification of motive. It's like, what are you trying to get out of being edgy?
Right.
Are you trying to get people to think you're cool? Because we can smell that in a second.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's like, I used to work with this guy named Joel, and when I waited tables, and I my girlfriend worked at this restaurant too, and I would go around doing what pretty much was like sexual harassment in a sense. Like, my friend Rob and I asked everyone in April of 99 if they wanted a Millennium Baby. Like, get it now. You can choose either one of us. No, it's me and Kevin McGeehan. Either one of us. Your choice, ladies. You know what I mean? And it was stupid. But, you know, and I'd be like, you know, hey, if you ladies have time to just sit around and lounge, you have time to go upstairs and have sex with me right now. You know, like, instead of clean, whatever.
Yeah.
Dumb jokes. And Joel, who was in a very unhappy relationship, his girlfriend had their first child. You could tell he wanted out. He would strut around and be like, hey, you ladies should totally fuck me. And it's like, no, Joel, we can tell you're serious. We can tell you're serious. You know, it's the same thing when someone's just like, yeah, this is edgy, right? Yeah, fuck you, Jonah. It's like, no, you don't like Jonah. You're mean.
Yeah.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So
yeah. I was telling that story with Sarah, and you're like, so this is going to sound sort of comic booky, but it's sort of like when a radioactive spider bites your hand and then you wake up in the middle of the night with these crazy spider powers.
Yeah.
And then organic
webshoes. You woke up in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I grew up, I had really advanced healing powers. And so they put this stuff called adamantium on my bones. And
it
sounded really comic bookish.
They just inject it right in.
But,
they just inject it right in, and then you're virtually indestructible. They spent $500 million making you indestructible.
Exactly.
Now they got to try to bring you in somehow.
They shoot me in the head. I don't know.
It's not going to work.
I wake up in the woods naked, screaming.
Yeah, it's weird. And then, of course, you know, you got shot in the head in the prequel, but then the bullet doesn't show up in the x-ray in the movie that's supposed to come right after
it.
So, I mean, whatever. Yeah. I mean, just like silly things like that.
And the Professor X cannot even bear to tell you how many people around him, he's hearing their thoughts say, he's way too tall to play Wolverine. Am I right? Come on, comic nerds.
Should have been Danzig. Should have been Danzig.
Should have been Bob Hoskins.
That would have been such a marvelous train wreck.
Should have been Bob Hoskins.
Bob Hoskins, oh yeah.
Well, Wolverine would have been a great, like, all right, you fucking cancer.
Yeah, oh my God. Well,
hairy shoulders.
You want to see an X-Men nerd? That's my picture of
Peter Dinklage.
Oh, Peter Dinklage is Wolverine.
It's called Reboot, that painting.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. I would have called it Wolverine-y.
Well,
that's just rude.
You know, I...
Why is that...
It's
the diminutive form of Wolverine.
I tweeted that Tom Hardy as Bane is too small a person to play Bane in Batman. He shouldn't be known as Little Bane. Come on, everybody. Hey, everyone.
Who are you
like rapper,
to?
Lil Wayne.
Wait, who are you gesturing
like,
to?
Like the rapper...
Who are you just reading? Well, there's a lot of great comics coming out tonight, you guys.
give it up for everyone you've seen so far.
Do you like emceeing?
Sometimes. Generally not. But if everyone on the roster I'm a fan of and friends with, it's a good time. And in terms of like emceeing at like the improv or something, I wouldn't do that. But you know, generally, just because you can't just enjoy. You have to time people generally, and then you have to know when you're going on stage. And
you your special is out. You have a DVD out.
Well, it airs. This is ahead of time for you guys.
This is future DVD.
DVD. When this comes out, it'll be time to come out when people can get the DVD.
So, oh, cool. Well,
the future DVD will be relevant again.
The air date is July 14th. It's a Saturday. It'll be 11 p.m.
I'm sorry.
It's after a Tosh marathon. Come on, guys. And then it is. And then the, is. The
Wood One Trade Lives, that guy.
God bless you, Daniel. God bless you.
God bless you.
Well, I'm sure he loves it. But Tuesday, the DVD and my album on digital download and vinyl come out on Comedy Central Records. It's called Shovel Fighter.
You must have a Shovel Fighter bit.
I do. Yeah. Well, it's basically like I talk about, because it's kind of a me lampooning myself and every other comic who's like, oh, the worst job I ever had.
Oh, right.
Where I talk about the real one, which is where I worked in a greeting card store and I was so bored. And then I stopped myself and I go, no, I'm sorry. I messed up. The worst job I ever had was when I was a shovel fighter in the Ukraine. And then I go through this whole thing of how they used to throw me in a pit and I'd fight people and kill them and cut their heads off with shovels.
No, that's fun. So I mean, that's fun in the sense that I always love that kind of comedy where it's, it seems like an aside, and then all of a sudden that becomes the main bit that you're into. Well, how do you find audiences sometimes like you kind of have to hold their hand a little bit so they're not like, whoa, wait, what's he talking about
that
now?
That bit I love because it either crushes or does nothing. And on the special, it does well, but not as well as it sometimes does. On the record, it killed because it ends with me sobbing and crying because the Ukrainian warlord, made me cut my friend's head off in the ring. You know, I had to not only defeat him, but the thumb went down. I turned the shovel around and just shoveled his head off.
That is a shitty job.
Yeah, it's a horrible job. Yeah. So I'm crying, and at the end, I kind of snap out of it and go, oh yeah, the worst job worst job, you guys. So it's so weird that I like it a lot, but it's, you know, it's not, one reason I really like it is it's not a sure thing, you know. It's ate it on the road, and it's also done really well on the road, you know.
What's he talking about?
Yeah, no one's ever fought with a shovel.
That's dumb.
Yeah, but it also to not to extrapolate, but I was thinking about it recently, and it's kind of me making fun of any of us that, you know, for myself, from a middle class background, anyone from middle class background or above who's ever said they had a bad job, because we really have not.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
there
no,
are
no.
people who dig through the garbage for their food. Yep. You know, it's like
that's not a job, though.
You know,
that's a lifestyle hobby.
Yep. I don't mean foragers that look for mushrooms for fine restaurants. Oh. I mean,
you try being wrist deep in dead children.
Oh boy.
Well, I don't. How someone paid you for that?
If you're wrong.
Oh,
wrist deep is a pile of dead children.
It was weird.
What happened?
Actually, no, that's not a pile. He said wrist deep.
Yeah,
not that deep.
Oh, okay.
It's actually kind of shallow considering a body.
That's just a few children.
Might just be one body.
Yeah,
half a body. It seems wrist deep.
Okay,
half a body. It seems wrist deep. Well, why is that so funny to me?
Yeah, it turns out you actually get a discount if you can bury people in groups.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a little bit of a, like, you get your punch card and then the fifth one's free.
That's what dictators do. Dictators do that.
Oh, okay.
So what are you starting over completely? Have you started writing the new hour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I still do when I'm on the road doing like a club or doing a college, I'll still do stuff from that. You know, I'm not going to do all like trying out new stuff, you know, for an hour, but I'd say I have maybe, I don't know, a half an hour since I did that.
Nice.
Or so, maybe 25.
That's fantastic.
Like. Thanks.
I'm jealous.
Well, I taped it in December, so, you know, it's almost July, so that's not that great. You know, I think I'm.
You hear that?
No, I think February? That's good. I know. I take mine in February, but I've barely written. I've maybe written like 10 new minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I think you probably have more than that that you're not even thinking about. Because, you know.
No, I think it's about 10. Could be 8.
Why'd your voice get so high?
Because this is where I make.
Mavis.
I think it could be like 10. At this point, they're just these freeform swirling ideas that aren't really connected to anything yet.
I got you. Yeah, but
it's fun though. I like the process. Do you find in this hour you actually get to start from scratch and just plan everything? And
you already have the first album.
I think so. Yeah, I have the first album and the half hour special. Now this is the hour special and the album, and you know, they taped the record in Portland at this theater that was a couple blocks from where I grew up, and then I taped the special at a theater in New York. So they're separate. They're similar material, mm-hmm. but they're different recordings.
That's cool. Interesting.
Which
that's
I like. Cool. Yeah, because if you like the special, get the album, and it's something else. It's not. I did not tape the audio of this special to put on a record because I think it not that it's disingenuous to do that or something. I just was like, oh, why not? You know, why not just do it? You
that's
know,
really cool.
Just a record
that's
thing.
A cool that is thing a cool idea. I think I've just, for efficiency's sake, let's just rip the audio.
I literally almost called it a different thing. And then wiser heads prevailed and were like, that's a dick move. Yeah. Someone can watch a special and be like, oh, it's a whole other album, different material. What the fuck? Yeah.
So yeah. Well, I definitely think that's confusing too. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't want to confuse the people who want to buy your album at the same time.
Yeah.
Is this an old one? Well, some of this sounds similar.
This sounds.
This is weird. What's happening?
I'm lost.
Why are the laughs different?
Yeah.
So where are you off to next? What's going on next?
I am just in town for a couple weeks, and then going. I'm going to be in at the Paris casino in Las Vegas.
Oh, while you're there, head to the Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse called Steak.
Okay.
Get yourself a beef Wellington, and then call me and thank me.
Oh, I will. Yep. I love beef Wellington. Yep. Hell yeah, I'll be there.
He doesn't miss.
I didn't know Paris had a comedy club.
It's a new one. It's like a lounge.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you done it before?
I have not. I have not. It's a new comedy venue they're trying out. It hasn't been around more than, I think, a couple months. But
cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I I remember my first gig in Vegas was at the Riviera, the Riv.
Right. Yeah,
top,
I remember
the top of the Strip.
Yeah.
Right across the street from Circus. And I was featuring, and I'd have to do 2 20-minute sets a night for the whole week. And in the beginning, I'm like, this will be hell. But by the end, I would literally walk down from my hotel room seconds before I had to be on stage, go on stage, riff about my day, then leave. And wow. they were so, because they had seen so much bad comedy, they're just like, oh, hey, this guy's all right.
I think with Vegas audiences too, you have to engage them a little bit more because their attention's all over the place.
There's always someone drunk.
They're drunk, and they're overstimulated. Yeah. And so, you know, if
the Nerdist podcast, there's always someone drunk. Always.
There's always. Sometimes it's Matt.
Straight vodka.
That's true.
Sometimes it's actually Matt. But I feel like if you just talk to the audience, then they kind of loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think when you just throw a permanent wall up and just keep talking, it's one of those things where they're just like, it's just like a TV. We can talk.
Yeah. Hey, have you been to the buffet and gotten those shrimps?
If you go to Vegas, just get one of them long alien people that's plastic full of rum and a straw.
Oh, I forgot that those exist. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fucking gross.
So gross. And like, you have to limit day drinking anyway, but that's just the worst kind of day drinking. You know, where you just drink rot gut that'll give you a savage headache. Like, it'll give you
a pre-hangover.
Yeah. Like a hangover by 7 p.m.
And you
back to the thumbing out pre-cup.
You leave a casino and it's just like, all of a sudden it's light outside and it just burns your fucking eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You can feel how full of smoke and gunk your eyes are from being in the casino all night.
And you have that feeling of like, wait, why am I here? This isn't fun anymore.
What happened?
Yeah.
I think I have to go to sleep and wake up feeling awful in 3 hours.
It's just, the place is fun, but it's just such a big lie. It's just like, you're just here to lose your money to us.
Yeah.
To us.
I feel like they're pretty straightforward about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be the most honest place in the world.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I mean, they never say it. It's more just like, come for the entertainment and
they
the
spray
lively.
It.
There's nothing. Yeah, they spray it. They spray it all over.
Welcome to Vegas.
Like a cat.
Welcome to Vegas. Well, Matt Brogger, Matt Brocker, Shovel Fighter. Shovel Fighter.
Mm. Shovel Fighter.
Shovel Fighter.
Just shut up and cook.
is available by the time this goes up. Is available now.
Yes.
And people should buy it. And I hope people. I assume. I mean, people seem familiar with you now. Like people know who you are.
I think.
Did you just discourage people who don't know who he is?
No, I don't think most people.
If you don't know who Matt Bronger is, just keep doing that.
No. Wait.
Wait.
Why did I come on here?
Oh, I'm bad. This is bad promotion. This is bad promotion. Well, we should get together and write. I would really love to.
Let's do it.
I definitely know I need to. Hmm. And it's just always a nice. Like I think for people out there, if you're having trouble writing, like I don't know what to write about, just get with a friend and just start kicking stuff back and forth and just get the wheels moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
At Matt you're just at Bronger on Twitter.
Bronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
B-R-A-U-N-G-E-R.
That's right.
E-G-E-R.
Uh-huh.
At Bronger, Matt Bronger, Matt Myra, Jonah Ray, Chris Hardwick, I think. Enjoy your burrito.
The most formal ending of a podcast ever.
Well, until you just fucked it up by describing the formality of the ending.
And now we're back. You could just cut it anywhere you want.
Matt is so drunk.
Oh, my God,
drunk.
I can.
Guys, I am
He's
fucking
so
not that hammered. Come on.
This guy does the best Myra.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com, use the offer code Nerdist5 to get 10% off your new website or blog.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.